Current state on 90.5 WKAR. Even the most casual cable TV viewers have on occasion been led to ask themselves, okay, how long could I survive in the wild without food? What could I eat? Well, our next guest will offer just those kinds of insights tomorrow at Michigan State University's Beale Botanical Garden. Peter Carrington is the assistant curator of the Beale Garden, where he's the edible and toxic plant specialist. He's also been an assistant instructor in the MSU Plant Biology Department. His free 40-minute session is called Weeds You Can Eat and Not. Welcome back to Current State.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to see you. You preside over a jewel, I have to say, an emerald on the landscape of mid-Michigan.
It is one of the finest outer offices on the planet.
Without a doubt. It's better than a corner office with a view, the Beale Garden. It is, in a way, I'm hesitant to bring it up because I figure people will hear it and more people will go there. And it's like, hold it, I don't want too many people visiting Beale, but it is an extraordinary little place.
Truly outstanding place.
I've always loved going there. I just feel a little bit more human every time I visit. But how many edible wild plants would you say there are in the Beale Garden?
Well, upwards of 100 for sure. Probably more like 150 or 200.
How about that? That is lots more than I expected.
Well, we have lots of collections of plants in the Beale Garden and food plants the indigenous American Indians used as well. But we have lots of other collections, dye plants, flavor plants, perfume plants, and many of these plants turn out to be edible wild plants in their own right as well.
And how I would assume then that edible plants are not uncommon in mid-Michigan in the wild either?
Not at all. Okay. We have many wild plants in every one of our natural environments that could be potential food plants if a person knew about them. And even when you break ground, say for a garden, the natural suite of weeds that emerges soon thereafter, about two-thirds of those species could be edible plants. The other third are either inedible because they're unpalatable or in some cases toxic.
Could I eat the pokeweed that plagues my backyard in my mulched areas?
Pokeweed is an unusual plant because not only is it one of the most toxic plants, and certainly with a suite of toxins within that are the toxic plant specialists' study dream, they also have a history as a venerated table vegetable, especially in the cultures of the southern United States. So it's very unusual that you would have such a dangerous plant also be such a reputed and highly esteemed edible plant in its own way.
Poke salad.
In spite of the fact that they say poke salad, there is never, ever a part of the poke plant that you can eat raw, no matter what you do.
Okay. You can take the leaves and
Only preparable in the first weeks after they emerge from the ground.
Okay.
And then they have to be double boiled. That's where you boil them and dispose of the water that gets rid of some soluble toxins, and then sauteed in oil usually. And so this all has to be done before any of these stems turn purple or before any of the flower spikes become visible at the terminals of the new growth. And when that happens, when you start to see the little juvenile flower spikes, that rather, in my opinion, closes the season on pokeweed for the whole year for all of the plants in your area.
It can grow like mad.
Well, it does, and it's one of those common weeds that comes up whenever you break ground. In fact, I'm actually a consultant for the regional poison control centers, and I took a call some time ago from a man who was weeding outside in the garden with his wife. And he pulls this plant out of the ground with a long white taproot and announces, "Hey, this is a dandelion. You can eat this root." Whereupon, he ate that root.
Oh, boy.
And after 3 or 4 hours of continuous vomiting, finally submitted to his wife's suggestion that he show up at medical care, where I got connected. And he was treated, and actually, considering he ate the most poisonous part of an extremely poisonous plant, he lives to forage wild plants yet again.
Mm. Well, good for him. Peter Carrington is the assistant curator of the Beale Garden, where he is the edible and toxic plant specialist. He's got a 40-minute session tomorrow called Weeds You Can Eat and Not. So we've transitioned into the weeds you cannot eat. How do you break this down for people? Do you look at broad categories of plants here to make this understandable?
Well, actually, broad categories, I find, are probably not the best approach because it's hard to find broad categories that are easy to define that don't include the resource for making a toxic plant accident.
Okay.
So I always advocate for people who are starting out in the edible plant endeavor, if you will, that they take this one plant at a time and that they learn as many of the salient details as they possibly can, and they resist any advice that goes along the lines of, you can eat any plant that, is guaranteed to have some horrific exceptions.
Rules
that will not play well at the dinner table.
Rules of thumb are to be avoided then,
exactly, basically. Exactly, sure.
Well, it might be important to define edible, I guess, though. I mean, how do you define edible? Is this something with nutritional value or that tastes good, or is it just something that would keep you alive a little bit longer if you were in desperate straits? I mean,
Well, edible has lots of different categories because there are plants that are sought after and desirable under any circumstance. There are plants that you could make a pleasant meal out of, and there are plants that are not so terribly desirable that you would actually beat the bushes to find them, but if you were in a food emergency, they would offer nutrients for you as well.
And I
tend to define edible as, first of all, something that's non-toxic when you're eating it. That's always a good plan. Second of all, has to be digestible. Even though lawn clippings are non-toxic and cheap, the fact that they have enough cellulose in them to make particle board probably doesn't advocate well as food.
No.
And lastly, they actually have to be palatable. You say to yourself, well, you know, in a survival situation, when you're hungry enough, you'll eat anything.
Right.
Well, if you have to starve yourself for 8 hours to choke down the first handful of some semi-noxious plant, how long is it going to take you to build up to the second handful of that stuff? And how long and how many handfuls before you start thinking to yourself, well, death isn't that bad?
You've thought about this.
A bit. Sure. So actually, to be palatable is really one of the requirements, because you will never choke down enough of something terrible to offer a sufficient suite of nutrients to your body to make the big difference.
Mm-hmm. You've brought some wild weeds native to Michigan with you. Why don't you explain to our listeners what you brought here?
Well, I brought a plant that normally would be starting to burn out in the heat of summer, but since we haven't really gotten into the deep heat of summer or the lack of rain that sometimes implies, I've brought a plant called common chickweed. And common chickweed in my world is a very tasty salad green. I eat peanut butter and chickweed sandwiches. I find it very tasty and delicious. But it does, of course, have some plants that look like it that are not edible. And so
You can eat that raw?
You can eat this raw. In fact, I advocate eating it raw. You could cook it, but it's such a fine-tasting, delicate salad material that I can't see the necessity of cooking it unless you need it to add to another dish or something. We also have a plant here called Scarlet Pimpernel, or Poor Man's Weatherglass. Some people even call this poison chickweed because it has opposite leaves. Now, when I say opposite leaves, that means each pair of leaves connects to the stem at the exact opposite point of the stem from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes it look very much like chickweed. It has similar shaped leaves and so forth. And no flowers at this moment. The flowers are only open when the sun is out, and that's why it's called Poor Man's Weatherglass. Unfortunately, it is not edible, although you occasionally see a edible plant guide refer to it as a cooked vegetable. But the alkaloids in it, I don't consider a tremendously good plan for food.
Okay.
But it can be separated from chickweed because it has a square stem and cross-section.
Okay. A couple of good examples. You can learn more tomorrow from our guest, Peter Carrington, assistant curator of the Beale Garden. He is an edible and toxic plant specialist, and his free 40-minute session is called Weed You Can Eat and Not, and the not is in uppercase letters, we should point out here. We want to thank you for joining us,
Peter. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Peter Carrington here on Current State.